this week's booklet is over here. Tefillas Kelim 3 and Tefillas Kelim 4. The Siyata D'Shmayas, I hope today to wrap up Tefillas Kelim. Some beautiful, beautiful topics for today, both in terms of Iyun as well as Halach L'maisa. We left off with Siming Kuf Ches Siftes. This is a sugyan of Mashkon. So if one has a mashkan of a goy, does that require Tefillas Kelim or does it not require Tefillas Kelim? So if you take a look at booklet number 3, we have a photocopy of the Gemara towards the end of the booklet. There the Gemara has a shaila. If one has a mashkan, a collateral that's being left, in such a case, is there a requirement of Tefillah or not? What would the case of a collateral be? So let's see first in the words in the Chaver. I thought we had the photocopy in this booklet. Maybe we have in the next one. Just a moment before we go to the Gemara. The Mechaber says, Mashkon Akum, Kli Yisrael. So a goy borrowed money and he leaves a Kli in the Rishus of Yisrael. Imnira Bedas Ovicham Shirotzel Shako Biyado. If it looks like the goy is planning to leave it by him, Ton Tvila. So now it becomes the Jew's Kli. Vimlav, and otherwise, Yat Bilenu below Bracha. Then in such a case, he is tovelit without a bracha. So over here, the Shach already comments on this halacha in Sifkatan Yutes, Bim Lav. Klomer will look at the Gemara, we'll go backwards. First we'll take a look at the Shach, and then we'll go and look in the Gemara. It says the Shach, Sifkatan Yutes, Klomer she'eni yodeya imdasa akam l'shoko olav. He doesn't know if the guy really intends to pay back or not. So then it could very well be that the guy, this is a pawn shop. By the way, this used to be a Jewish profession. Rav Miller commented on the Sif that this is not Nogea anymore, La Maisa. This hardly ever happens, but we'll do it anyway. He skipped this. That's a Farish Gemara. It's a beautiful Gemara, so it's Kedai to talk about, even if it's not La Maisa. So, unfortunately, pawning was a Jewish profession, and what would happen is a Jew would lend money to a guy, and the guy would leave his mashkon by the Jew. So a mashkon in such a case is, in one could look at conceptually, and that's what the Gemara discusses in Avodah Zarah and Ayin Heyam Abayis, of whether the fellow who's holding on to a mashkon halachically it belongs to him. And in such a case, then the Jew kilu is buying it from the guy. And if he wants to use it, he'll have to do tvila. Or do you say no, that the mashkan isn't entirely his? So says the Shach that this halacha of the mechaber is being said as follows. If the Jew who owns the pawn shop knows that the guy has no money, and he's going to get that mashkan, it's going to be shakua, it's going to stay by him, so then in such a case, in dasa ovicham l'shako, lav, yodea bebiru she'en dasa hakam l'shako, pshita dein tzar tvila. It's a davar pashut that doesn't need tefillah. So, the suffix of when the Jew will have to do tefillah is when he thinks that the guy might actually be leaving it by him. But if he knows that the guy is going to take it back, or he suspects that the guy is going to take it back, so then in such a case, to borrow a term in psachim, which is not exactly the term in Avodah Zarah, balchov is not kone the mashkan. Then in such a case, he's not going to be kone the mashkan. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, though, is not as clear as the way the Shach understood it.
If one take it back ever, or like, I mean,
right, that he's not planning to take it back at all. Correct. Did we have this in the booklet? I thought we did. Maybe it's further on.
Had a couple of booklets.
Yeah, here we go. So it's in the booklet. It's actually closer to the beginning than I thought it was. The Gemara on the bottom of Ayin Heim Abayis says that there is going to be a chiyuv, of course, of Tefillas Kelim from Kelim that one buys from a guy. That's three lines in. But prior, on the first wide line, the Gemara has a shayla. Amar Mar Baravashi Abba. Mashkon Le Akum, Kosa, etc., etc. Velo Yodana. In the Shum de Kasar Mashkantik is Vini Dami, or Mashum de Chazi Le Akum de Dait Le Shoke. So the Gemara says there are two reasons why you'd be chayiv. Number one is if you know that the guy leaves it by you, then you're going to be chayv, because now the guy is essentially giving it to you. The guy doesn't even intend to pay back. He intends that the payback be the mashkan. Or the other possibility is mashkin is kizvini, that every time you get a mashkin, it's as if you bought it from the guy. So Gemara is not poshet the shayla. The Gemara just ends with two dots. So the Chalkas Binyamin points out that there's a little bit of a chiddush over here in the shaft, that there is another way of understanding the psak of the mechaber. The mechaber is not saying that the halacha is that automatically a mashkon doesn't require a tefillah. Really, there's room to say whether you could fit it back into the mechaber or other poskim, that the halacha would be that every mashkon requires tefillah, because there's a sheet in the Gemara says that mashkanta is kizvini, it's considered as if you bought it. But the Shach understands that the Mechaber is saying, and then maybe it is the Pashas of the Mechaber, but the Shach understands that the Mechaber is saying that you have a suffix of whether the guy wants to leave it by you, so then you're going to have a suffix. If you think the guy wants to leave it by you, so then in such a case you're chayv. If you think that the guy is planning to collect it back, then you're going to be patur. So if you take a look, the Chalkas Binyamin in the end of volume 4, if you will, of the booklets, just points out, second to last photocopy of the Chalkas Binyamin, over there he points out in Os Ayin Hei, he says, Ratzon lomer she'ein der das akim shorotz l'shaku v'yado, el safek hu etzleinu, inami she'yadua lanu de'ein ratzon l'shoko, v'yeish omrim, dim yadua she'ein ratzon l'shoko, ein tzarech tvila klal. And that is the Shita of the Shach. In Reish Yud Zayin, Os Reish Yud Zayin, Chalkas Binyamin, he says if you know that the guy doesn't want to leave it by you, so then in such a case, you don't have a chiyuv of tvila at all. However, the Chalkas Binyamin points out, there are other ways of understanding, and that is that even if you think that the guy doesn't want to leave it by you, it was a suffix in the Gemara. If it was a suffix in the Gemara, so then Mashkanta is Kizvini. So here the Shach is a little bit more lenient than you would have expected from the Pashtus of the Gemara, and the Chalkas Binyamin leaves it off as Yesh Omrim V'Yesh Omrim and Elu V'Elu. So these are this is Siftes in regards to Mashkin. The Ramah just concludes, V'Masof Nishtaka B'Yado Yachsav Yitvalenu B'lo Bracha. If at the end of the day the guy leaves it by you, so then in such a case there is a field of Tefillah without a Bracha. Sif Yud, Yisrael shenasan kesef l'uman akum. A Yisrael that gives silver to a Gentile workman, lasas lo mimenu kli, to make a utensil for him, eino tzarech tvila. In such a case, there isn't a requirement of tvila. V'yesh chalkin, and some disagree. The Gra explains beautifully in Sif Katan Chaf Aleph that this machlokis is actually very much relevant in Mirz Hashem. Next year, Yeshiva Akdosha, Yeshiva Sobeim Yitzhak Elchan will be learning Bava Kama. So this is in the second half of Bava Kama. This is a very big sugya, also in Bava Metzia, of course, and that is Uman Kone Bishvach Kli. When you give a utensil over to a artisan, so then in such a case, he is Kone. So the Gra points out that this machlokis, that's a machlokis in the Gemara, whether we pass in Uma Kone Shvachli. So the Gran Sif Katan Chafei explains beautifully that the machlokis over here between the Mechaber and the Ramah is the following. The Mechaber assumes that it's a Dover Pashut, that Uman is not Kone Bishvachli. So the Jew gives the material, the guy gets the material, and in such a case, he returns it to the Yid, so it's a Yid from the beginning to the end. While the Ramah, quoting the Torah in the name of Ritzva, and this I guess you'll look into next year, discusses that it could very well be that we are Choshesh, that Uman is Kone B'Shvachkli, so then it became the Goy's. So then how did you get it back? The answer is that when you pay the Goy for his work, for his Malacha, so then you get it back from him, as the Sugi of Uman Kone B'Shvachkli explains, and therefore there would be a Chiyuv of tevila. Of course, the Rama goes on, this is a machlokis tanoim, it's a machlokis amoraim, machlokis rishonim. So then when you have a machlokis in such a case, then the tevila will be without a bracha. So the Rama concludes, v'yesh l'tov lo b'lo bracha. In such a case, the tevila should be done without a bracha because it's already a machlokis that's going back generations. Now, it is very important to note that even though there's a sugya that's black and white, uman kone b'shvach kli, nevertheless, if you take a look in your booklet, that Rav Moshe Feinstein, in the third photocopy, has a very important shuva that we might have paskin the shayla wrong by simply knowing this mechaber and the Ramah, based on the following situation. Very interesting. There was a business meeting here in the auditorium of Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elkanah of Chinese business men and women. So it's in Yama de Yama. Could be that one of them owns a factory in China that that manufactures utensils. So what's the halacha l'chura? So if they manufacture utensils there, so then in such a case there would be a chiyuv of tefillah if you buy it from them. However, it's not so pashut. What's not so pashut? Ramesha says in Arachaim Chelek Gimel Simen Dalid that it could very well be in many instances the sugya of Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli is not going to be relevant, and it could very well be that these factories are not even considered the real buyer. What Ramosha discusses is that when you have a factory that is, its job is to manufacture utensils, and you have businessmen that use the factories, because I won't talk about this too loud right now. We don't know if the Chinese government is listening right now, but at the end of the day, we know that the labor in China is quite cheap. So then what happens is that many businessmen, what they will do is they will just use the factory and they'll bring in all the materials. They'll just send it to China and then send it back because it's a lot cheaper just to get it done over there. So here's the shaila. What happens if the factory is factories who are Gentile workers, but the material was sent by a Jewish company known here in Yerushalayim as the Eda Charedis, is sent by the Jewish company. I'll explain in a moment what that means. The Hashkacha of the Eda Charedis, not the political arm of the Eda Charedis. That the Hashkacha sends the material and they make the aluminum. Of course, aluminum was a big shaila that we've discussed previously, whether it requires tefillas kelim, or they make whatever utensil it is and they send it back. So Ramesha says, doesn't even get involved in the sugya of Uman Kona Shachkli. At the end of the day, there isn't a chiyuv of tefila because at the end of the day, you're using the factory simply as day laborers. All they are simply day laborers. Obviously, one needs to get involved with how the contract was made, but Ramosha claims that in most instances, the contract, in other words, with the company, with the factory, in most instances, the factory is just being, the day laborers are being used, and then it's not even talui in the sugya of Uman Kona Shvachli. So you might have thought, anything that's automatically made in China is automatically has a chiyuv of tefillah. So yes, if it was made by a Chinese company, and I have a friend whose father is in the business of making china, so it's a Jewish-owned company, and the factory is in China. So then, in such a case, then it could very well be that there isn't a chiyuv of tefillah at all. China also doesn't need tefillah unless the glaze needs tefillah. But it could very well be in such a case there isn't tefillah and there isn't a chiyuv b'toras uman or b'toras poel at all. Yes.
What's the difference between that and this case of Shulchan Aruch?
Says Ramesha the following chiluk, that when it comes to Shulchan Aruch, there it's an uman. A uman is a kablon, Ramesha says, that you give him a job and you give him the item and he's in charge of fashioning it, he's kone it, and then he gives it back to you. He claims the schir yom doesn't work in that way. And therefore, Ramesha claims that's only big kablonus. Rav Miller put it even in sharper terms. Rav Miller even said this in the name of Ramosha even sharper. Rav Miller said that at the end of the day, there's absolutely no artisanship that's necessary in these factories when they're making these simple, at least simple utensils, and therefore he doesn't think that the sugya of Uman Kona Shvachli applies at all. Ramesha's lashon in the tshuva itself is Ramesha differentiates between a schir yom and a kablon. Let's make sure we know what the difference between these are very important terms. A schir yom is somebody, is a poel that you pay a daily wage, like the people in factories, versus a kablon is, that's usually more of a professional job, where you give him the material, as described over here in the Shulchan Aruch, and his job is to make something nice. Rav Miller's take was that if his job is not to make something that's unique, that requires any artistry, so then in such a case, the whole halacha of kona uman kona b'shvach kli would not apply altogether. Whether you formulate it the way Rav Miller Shlita said it, or the way you go with the technical words of Ramesha, at the end of the day, in most instances, the Gentile factories are considered simply schir yom. And unless there's a guy who really owns the business, there wouldn't be a chiyuv of tefillah at all, even tefillah. without a bracha. Yes, Rabbi Yehuda.
The Rabbi Miller is not. It's a totally separate thing from Moshe.
Rabbi Miller said bebas achas within Rav Moshe.
It sounds like two totally different.
Einachanami. I agree with you. I agree. I think Rav Miller is taking the Yisod and he's taking it a step further. I agree. Okay. Now the Ramah gives us some more nuanced case. Ramah says, "V'imak miktsas hakesef shenasimenu akli shel akum tsarich tvila." But if a little bit of the kesef belongs to the guy, so then in such a case it needs tvila, and it needs tvila with the bracha. V'chein uman Yisrael sha'asa kli la'akum v'kanu mimenu. Also an uman Yisrael that makes a kli for a guy, and then buys it from the guy. Yaklanu gam came below bracha. So then, in such a case, you have a shayla that he was. It's the inverse. The Yisrael is now the uman. So maybe you say that it was made al yidei uman Yisrael. So that's a machlokus rishonim of whether you say uman is kana b'shvach kli. So then, in such a case, he's tova below bracha. Ima akum nasan kol matachos. Avulim aso la'atzmo. But if he made it for himself, rakshakana matachos mina akum. But he bought the matachos from the guy. Oshenason mixes matachos mishalo, or the guy gave a little bit of the matachos. Ain't sarach tefila. So then, in such a case, there is no need for tefila. Obviously, if he bought it from the guy, so then in such a case, the matachos was his, and then he fashioned it in the kli. So the halacha is that when Yisrael makes a kli, so he's not chayiv in tefila. The chiyuv tefila is only when you buy the kli from the guy. The last case of the Ramah of oshenasan mitzas matachos mishalo in tzarach tefila, there are different ways of explaining, and we're going to go with the explanation. One of the explanations in the Shach and Sivkat and Chavdal. The Shach connects this halacha with another Ramah, with the Ramah in Sif Yud Aleph. The Ramah says Yisrael va'akum shekanu kli b'shutfus ein tzarach tefila. If you have a Yisrael and a guy who both own the utensil, so then in such a case, there isn't a chiyuv of tvila. So, before we analyze that halacha, the Shach says one good way of explaining this Ramah is exactly this case. If the guy owns part of the mateches, and now you're getting involved with the shayla of uman kona b'shvach kli, at the end of the day, if the Yisrael owns part of it, and the guy owns part of it, it's the same halacha of Yisrael va'akum shekanu kli b'shutfus, and therefore there isn't going to be a requirement of tefillah. That's how the Shach learns in Sifkat and Chavdal. Now, this psak, going from that obtuse case of exactly how you read the Ramah, o shenasa mitzas matachos mishalo in tzarach tefillah, let's go to the more common case. The Ramah himself in Sif Yud Aleph, where the Ramah says that if a goy and a Yisrael own something together, so then in such a case there isn't a requirement of tefillah. L'chura, the Beis Meir has a gevaldik akasha on this psak. It's quite hard to understand. Why would that be that there isn't a requirement of tefillah? So the Gra quotes over here in Sifkatan Lamed Aleph, at the end of the day, I'm the Jew, and I'm using a utensil that comes from a guy. Let's say we both, me and Tom, the guy, me and, let's use a guyish name, me and Peter, so then in such a case, we both bought it from a guy. So why isn't it on my side? So then in such a case, then why would it not be that there isn't going to be a chiyuv? So the Gra cryptically says, Sivkat and Laman Alf, based on Yerushalmi, and this is what almost all of the Rishonim say, she'ene yotze midei tumah b'tvila zu, because how's tvila's kelim going to help? Da'adayin she'im akum alav, the guy still owns it. So, you're stuck! And therefore you're pater. So, comes along the Beis Meir, and he says, you're right, you're stuck, but why are you pater? In other words, the reason you can't, there isn't a chi of tvila, is because it still belongs to the guy. Fine, so now you can't use those kelim. A new chumra. Why is it that now in this instance you're allowed to use the kli without doing tefillah? You're right. You can't be makbil it. You can't be motzi it midei tumah. By the way, here you see that the Yerushalmi is nogei l'maisa. This the gear said the Yerushalmi that tefillah's canvas to be motzi midei tumah. So if that's so why is it that you don't do tefillah? So here Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, in the tshuva that we saw last week, connects on page Reish Chav Beis, in Madura Tinyan, Reish Nun Beis, excuse me, Simin Samach Vav, Rav Shlomo Zalman connects something that we said already from him. He connects what he himself said to the more fundamental Yisod in responding to the Beis Meir's Kasha. What I just asked to you is the Beis Meir's Kasha. In the standard edition of Shulchan Aruch HaBihir, it's on the second column on the bottom. Be'ena Yifla, it could be you, some of you already have a new edition. Dema Bekach De'ena Yotze. Akati Mi'hitu L'shtamish Bo B'li Tefila. Adarab, Ne'ema L'chumro, De'mishum Zeh Be'emes Aser. What's the pshat that the halacha is that you don't do tefillah? So we mentioned that Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal had a brilliant heter, a debatable heter for sure, but a brilliant heter about why an individual who goes to a hotel doesn't have to be entirely concerned about tefillas kelim. And Rav Shlomo Zalman suggested a massive chiddush. And he said, the chiyuv of tefillas kelim is only when you're able to do tefillas kelim. If you're not able to do tefillas kelim, so then in such a case there isn't going to be a chiyuv of tefillah. So Rav Shlomo Zalman there in the photocopies we made, it's in today's booklet, the second page, towards the end of booklet number 3, Rav Shlomo Zalman suggested that that's the heter for hotels, and that's the second column. In the first column, he connects it to the Beis Meir's Kasha, and he claims that this will also answer the Beis Meir's Kasha. Beis Meir's question was, at the end of the day, you should have a chiyuv of tevila. If you have something that you bought from a guy, so you should have a chiyuv. And if you can't do it, so you can't do it. It should be asr. The kli should be asr. So Rav Shlomo Zalman suggests that the omek hadvarim over here is that the chiyuv of tefillas kelim is not about a chalos shem isur. It's not that there is the kli is a cheftza shel isur and the kli is asr until you do tefillah. But rather, there's a chiyuv akarkachta de gavra. There's a chiyuv midrabanan, or maybe daraisa, for a person to actively be tovel a utensil. If that's so, if the chiyuv is that there's a chiyuv that's mutal a love actively to be tovel the utensil. So for whatever reason he's an ones, so he's going to be potter. So in a hotel he's an ones. And Rav Shlomo Zalman suggests the same thing in regards to this issue as well. And that is the issue of the akum being his partner. So he can't, but just because he can't, That doesn't make him no longer able to use it. If he can't do the tefillah, so then in such a case he's going to be pater. Quite a brilliant chap in being masbir these two ramaz and to be miyashir the Beis Meir's kasha. The Beis Meir, of course, then gets off in a beautiful pilpul and has a sugya of breira shutvis. How does shutvis work? How does breira? If the guy owns it for one day and I own it for one day, so then in such a case, do we say that on that day I have a chiyuv of tefillah, or maybe no, or maybe there's no breira? So then in such a case, v'chule, the Beis Meir is befalpul. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, I don't need to get involved with that pilpul. And last week I gave you an example. Rav Shlomo Zalman brought the raya that at least by dinei derabanan, that's going to be common. He said that, for example, the iser of an onen to make a bracha doesn't mean that onen doesn't eat. If he's an onen, he doesn't make a bracha. Over here, though, what Rav Shlomo Zalman is also doing, and we're going to take this a little further, in answering the Beis Meir, he's adding that the chiyuv of tvila is not that the kli is a chetza shel iser, but rather the chiyuv of tvila is a kum vaseh, and then if it's a kum vaseh chiyuv on you, and I'm an onus, so in such a case I'm going to be potter. There's no chetza shel iser for the kli. Now, a great example of the fact that the kli doesn't have any status of a chetza shel iser, of course, is in the Ramah at the end of our siman. The Ramah at the end of our siman says, v'im avar. Now, you don't automatically come to Rav Shlomo Zalman's chiddush when you see this Ramah, but what the Ramah emphasizes is that there's no blios of iser, there's no even iser gavra on any ochel that's put on food that has been cooked in a kli that you didn't have tefillah done. There's a chiyuv for you to be tovel. If chas v'chalila you forgot about it, you missed it, okay, next time you use it, you have a new chiyuv. But there was no iser that was put on the cheftza of the kli, or even on the ochel, both b'toras cheftza and b'toras gavra v'amevin yavin. In both directions, there isn't a chiyuv at all that connected to the actual cheftza shel shel kli. So therefore, it's a stone throws away from Shlomo Zalman's chiddush to say that that's the pshat in the Beis Meir, and the two things, Rav Shlomo Zalman's heter for hotels apply, and that's where Rav Nevenzahl Shlita that we mentioned last week had suggested even the same would apply to kids who go to their parents' house as well, that they're also an onus if and when Mirtz Hashem, when they build a bais neman b'Yisrael, so then in such a case they'll be tovel l'kenim. So in a sensitive situation where obviously there's a chiyuv for the child to suggest to the parents, but if they can't suggest to the parents, so then you have this beautiful yisod. It could very well be that this sod is going to repeat itself as we continue to plow through the holy Shulchan Aruch. Yes, Yisrael.
How is this different than the case that Uman uses a little bit of his own silver?
No, it's going to be... Which case are you talking about? Oh, this conclusion of the Ramah in Yud?
Yeah.
So it's the exact same thing.
It's exact.
That's how... There are two deos in the Shach, because this is so not Lamaisa, I'm going with one deo and just running with it.
Okay.
I'm going with the day. Their shach has another explanation, but that there's the easiest shach for a sense of simplicity. I'm going to go with this idea that's based on shutfis and then wrap these things together.
Also, is he answering the base mayor, or he's just saying, would they be arguing?
In a chanami, you know, it's okay. the base mayor, the chur in his question is rejecting
right,
what Shlomo Zalman.
Yeah,
and I think Shlomo Zalman would say that in a chanami, he's not working within the base. The base name. That's what emerges. Good. Sif Yud Beis. Sif Yud Aleph, excuse me. The Mechaber. We went to the Ramon Yud Aleph, but we didn't do the Mechaber. Yisrael Shemachar Klila. Akon L'chazav Elachom Mimenu. Tzarech Tefila. Obviously, if you sell to a guy, and the guy sells back to you, you need Tefila. Al Mashkano B'yadav L'chazav Padam Menu Ain't Tzarech Tefila. When it comes to Mashkan, so then in such a case, there isn't a Chiyuv. That's going to be the Mechaber L'shitasa. Ramah concludes that obviously Yisrael Shagunvo Gazal Menu Kelev El Zerulah. If a guy steals a kli from a Jew, ain't Tzarech Tefila. Aval Sar O Moshe She'ansu Yisrael. But what happens if the government seized his items? V'lachu Kelev El Zerulah Tzarech Tefila. The Kvar Nishtaku Biyada Akum. It was Nishtaku Biyada Akum, and in such a case, there's a Chiyuv Tefila. Yud Beis Tzarech Lahat Bil Yidei HaKli. This is an important halacha, very technical halacha, but it's important to know that when it comes to Tefila. Requires an immersion of the entire utensil. And what that means is that not only is the item of the kli that comes in contact with the food required to undergo tefillah, but the entire item, including the handles. Of course, this is a yisod in Hilchos Tefillah, and this differentiates between tefillas kelim and hagolas kelim. When it comes to hagolas kelim, if you have a very large utensil, you could kasher it part by part. However, when it comes to Tefillas Kelim, we saw that this created a lot of consternation for the Chachmas Adam and Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Piskei Tshuva in the beginning of our Siman. A large kli, you can't be matvil at piecemeal. So therefore, you have to put the whole utensil in it once, just like a woman when she goes to a mikvah, all of her has to go in. So too when it comes to Tefillah. As well, and that's something that needs to be kept in mind, that there's a fundamental difference between Hagolas Kelim and Tfilas Kelim. Yes, Chesim?
Being told a pitcher or a bottle, when you put it in the water, it takes a couple of seconds for it to fill up, because there's that water bottle.
Yes.
You probably have to wait for that.
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned the water bottle. The halach, of course, is that you need bias mayim for anything that is part that is revealed in the kli, so then you need bias mayim, and it's not only needs to be rotu with bias mayim, just to summarize, as a reference, the base hastarim in Hilchos Tefillah, when a person goes to the mikvah, so they need to be clean from chatzitza, but water doesn't have to go in. You don't have to open your mouth when you go into the mikvah. But at the same time, there can't be a chatzitza in the mouth. When it comes to every other part of the body, then it has to be in the water. Same thing in regards to a kli. If a kli has base hastarim, so then in such a case, it could very well be that you need to remove any theoretical chatzitza, but you don't have to make sure that the water goes inside. When it comes to the requirement of it all coming in contact with the water, Zachesky points out correctly that a water bubble is going to be a problem. And therefore, when you put in a kli, what you should try to do is have the water begin to submerge inside of the kli, and without having it rush in at once, because when it rushes in at once, so then in such a case, it could very well be that part of the kli will just be in contact with air, and that would be a problem. Just you put it in. The bottom line is you put it in an angle. You don't put in the utensil like straight away, straight down, because then there's likely to be a water bubble over there, air bubble. Excuse me, not a water bubble, air bubble. In such a case, that would be a problem. So one should be careful. Similarly, the Mechaber tells something else to be careful about. It's if you gimel tzarech lahavir hachaluda kodim tefila, should be careful to make sure that the rust should be removed. Vimlo hevir, if he didn't remove it, imakbid alav chotzeitz. This gets back to hilchas tvilas tvila in general. When it comes to a chatzitza, if you're makbid, it's chotzeitz. Vimshivshev, if nothing lechol, nisher adayim atshel chaluda shlo yochel av adekach havemir chen imakbid alav ve'en a chotzeitz. So if you would have a sticker that you would be makbid on, so in such a case, it would be chotzeitz. I believe Rav Nevinzal Shlita was asked, what happens if the guy wouldn't mind the sticker being on the utensil in the Ol Yaakov Sefer, he was asked, but he knows that his wife would. So then in such a case, does he have to worry to take off the sticker? And the answer is yes. That if your wife would be makvid, so then by definition, then I don't know if he gave a Musar Shmuz then Shalom Bayis, but if your wife is makvid, then your by definition should be makvid. And therefore it could very well be that in such a case the sticker would be a chatzitza. You doubt. Ein maminim katan al tvilas kelim. You shouldn't trust a katan on tefillas kelim. So this opens up a beautiful, beautiful sugya. And this is based on the Trumas Hadeshin. If you take a look in your tour, let's take a look at the Trumas Hadeshin inside. In the tour, in Kuf Chaf, see if you dalid. Let's try to see that inside. It's a very beautiful Trumas Hadeshin. Kasa b'Trumas Hadeshin, she'ein l'shloach katan l'hakbil kelim. One should not send a katan for tefillas kelim. Now, why? Stop for a moment, put pause on the Trumas Hadeshin, and let's go to the first photocopy in our booklet. This is a very important Gemara, Chulin Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph. Every single Yodei Sefer, every single Jew who knows a little bit about Halacha has got to know this Gemara on Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph in Chulin. The Gemara in the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph discusses a Nida that fell into a mikveh. A Nida that went into the mikveh without intention to be tova. So here we have a machlokis between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, and there's a big discussion amongst the Amoraim and Rishonim of how we paskin. The bottom line is Tahora lebeis the sheet of Rav, Tahora lebeis of Asura dachal b'truma, and we reject the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan that says Af lebeis lo Tahora. It's the first wide line on Chulin Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph. So this is a very fundamental question, and that is, do you need kavana for tevila? This is, of course, important tevila for a woman going for the mikvah, to the mikvah. It's as well important in our halachos, and in fact, almost the rest of what we're going to discuss in the next half hour or so, I might go a little bit longer because I would like to finish Tevilas Kelim B'Siyata D'Shemaya today. Almost all of what we're going to discuss, the first step is going to be machriya the shayla. Do you need tefila? So bottom kavana. So bottom line is about kavana for tefila is ruba the rishon and pasternak rav that there isn't a requirement of tefila. What the other thing that that every talmud chacham should know that is that for taharos there is. So there's a split when it comes to chulin there isn't, but for taharos, for kachim and so on, there is. And that, of course, is obviously a very fascinating and beautiful sugya within the sugya of within kachim and taharos. So this is the machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, and this is how we generally paskin. And of course, the shita of Rav is then saying something amazing, and that is, any time there was tefillah that was done, whether you're entirely aware of it or not, it's kosher. So what does that mean? That means that there's no need for das. There's no need for das when it comes to tefillah altogether. By the way, just totally in brackets, Ramesha Feinstein has an amazing shayla that was asked by a young boy, a young bachur, who was dating a girl whose parents were not religious. And the boy said, the boy was a learned boy, and the boy asked Ramesha, at the end of the day, I'm concerned that Chazal say that a bas nida is a child of a nida in general, both a ben and a bas, have certain midos that are not appropriate. And I don't want to marry such a girl who has that status of ben or bas nida, even though otherwise she's a fantastic, fantastic girl. This is the only reason that I wouldn't marry the girl. So Ramesha tells him to marry the girl. He says, don't worry about Ben Rav Asnida. He says, why? He says, the odds are that once in her mother's life, she was Tova. And Rav Moshe has a cheshbon, therefore the odds are that the daughter is not a nida, was not a child of a nida d'oraisa. Because Rav Moshe says that was probably one time in her life. Now you have to cheshbon turn to Hilchos Nida. Why do you only need once in her life? But that's not our discussion right now. But the odds probably were that one time she was in a swimming pool or in a river or something like that, and she wasn't wearing very much, and those begadim wouldn't be considered a chatzitza, and therefore, and tevila works, shalom b'kavam, and that's how we pass them. So Rav Moshe says, therefore, today is that you don't have to worry about ben or bas nida. That's how Rav Moshe answered the bachar, and it's all based on this, a very important gemara in Chulin that says that tefila shalom b'kavam is going to be pater. Fascinating shuva, not relevant to Hilchas tefilas kedem, but a fascinating shuva. So that's what the Gemara tells us. Zok ehele getrunas hadeshen, back into Os Yudalid, dekivan detfilas kelem d'oraisa, lo memninan l'ketan. So he's dealing with the shayla, whether you could believe a katan to do tefilas kelem. Umikol mokom latbilan katan bifnei Yisrael shari, va'afilu la'agos ha'shri perik beiz dechulin, shepasa k'rab Yochanan, the Amar Ishla Baila Bali Kavana, Afagab de Hulunhu, the Cotton Bar Kavanahu, Im Omdim Al Gabu Malamdim also Kamoshikaswatosos, then that is going to be enough. So this is what's behind the psak of the Mechaber. Says the Mechaber, really, Lichatchila, you need Kavana. Why? Even though I said that we pass him like Rav, but Agos Ashri is Choshesh. The minority opinion of Rishonim that tefila needs to be done with kavana. However, if it's done b'fnei agadol, so then the gadol will be able to instruct him. That's how the Rama concludes. Sif yudal avim tavlo b'fnei gadol have tefila. In such a case, it's going to be acceptable. What's that?
Why does the gadol have to be there?
Because we're machmer lechatchila. This is that we're machmer lechatchila. We're machmer that a katan doesn't have nemanus, A, and B, there needs to be kavana on the tefila lechatchila. What happens if he did it in such a case?
I'm saying, if there was no gadol, wouldn't work even b'di'evad.
Oh, so let's leave that b'di'evad for a moment. Let's take a look at the task. Tasif katan tezayim lefisher tefilas kelim d'oraisa. So number one, he says tefilas kelim is d'oraisa. Vim tavlo lefnei gadol also tefila, and if it's done in front of a gadol, so then in such a case it would work. Kasev atam b'turmas hadeshin da'afilo rashis v'leid nida shetovel sarach havana mikol makom kan efshel gadol shilamir hakatan. Number one, va'od, and number two, did the tefila zu she'enim etama mitmeila t'ora man leimalon. Dibai Kavana. Number two, adds the Taz, since this Tvulila is not going from Tomalatara, in other words, when it comes to an Isha that's going to Mikvah, then Rabbi Yochanan says you need Kavana. But over here, when it comes to Tvilas Kalim, who says Tvilas Kalim is going to be Tomalatara? Let's get back to our first year of whether you go with the Rambam and say that this has nothing to do with going from Tomalatara or not. So Man Lemalon Dibai Kavana, Umidulo Kasakan Ramah. Shitzarich shi'alam denu agadol mashma shetofes kiteretz achron dekan lo ba'inon kavana klas. So Ramesha, sometimes you have to go on to get the answer to your question. The Taz at the end of Sifkat and Tezayin says that he thinks that the Ramah is only lechatchila, but b'di'evet it would be acceptable even if there was no gadol omid agadol. Why? Because even though the katan really shouldn't have nemanos, and what we're talking about over here is a d'oraisa, but mi'ikr d'dina, we pass them like those shitas that say that you don't need kavana at all, and therefore, if the utensil fell into a kli, it didn't need a person to drop it into a kli. If it fell into, it fell into a mikvah. If the utensil fell into a mikvah, so then in such a case, the tefillah would be a valid tefillah. Hence, b'di'evet, the Taz says, that it would be acceptable. Obviously, the din l'chatchila is ein maminim katan, that we would not trust the katan, and therefore one should not, some parents don't know this, one should not send their children to do the tefilas kelim, because at the end of the day, the halacha is that tefilas kelim, at least what we're going to discuss, tefilas kelim d'oraisa, l'chatchila ein maminim l'katan. So this is the bottom, the basic rule. Now we're going to see there are a few more levels to this basic rule. So again, l'chatchila, according to the Mechaber and the Ramah, one should not send the katan tefilas kelim. If you have gadol omer al gabav, it would work, just like other dinim of kavana, where v'amevin yavin in hilchos shechita, we see that gadol omer al gabav works. By get, we have gadol omer al gabav works. So too over here, gadol omer al gabav would for sure work. Even though l'chatchila, this would not be acceptable, says the Taz, at the end of the day, we really paskin like Rav, and therefore, even if there is no gadol omer al gabav, there isn't a requirement of kavana at all. Hence, I'm sorry, I'm not taking your questions yet, but hence, first we'll put it back in Siv Tezvav. The Mechaber then says, im hitvel kelim al yidei akum, also on tefila. So that's the same din as well. If the tefila is done al yidei akum, so then in such a case, the tefila is going to work. Why? So take a look at the Shach, Sifkat and Chafdes. One way of explaining it is the way the Shach quotes from the Bach. Kasva Bach, the Iker, Tain Moshe L'Rajbohu, Mishum, the Pasak Kerab, the Nida Shetavla, Bo'al Kavanel, also La Tfila. So in such a case, the Tfila, just like we say over there, there's no requirement, so too, over here, there is no requirement. The Ramah then just adds, but how do you know if it really happened? Your guy is not going to be neman. This is not coming back to the sugya of kfeila in Basar B'Cholav, in Taruvas. So at the end of the day, the tefila will work, maker didina, that's how we paskin, and b'dievet, it would work, according to the, at least the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. But l'chatchila, you have two problems. In the case of katan, you need a gadol omer al gabav, because in such a case, some are choshesh l'chatchila that you need kavana. And in Siv Tezvav, the Ramah points out there's another problem, and that is you can't trust the guy just because he said he did the tefillah. Could very well be that it would not work. Now, we're going to see that there are other shitas in regards to how to understand these halachas of a goy and katan, but this is the most basic way of understanding the din of goy and katan through the eyes of the Mechaber and the Ramah, and if you will, the standard approach, the simplest approach, according to the Mechaber and the Ramah. Before we go on to other understandings of the Mechaber and the Ramah, let us see that there are more levels here that we have to analyze. Let me give everybody, Rabbi Yamin, the levels, and then I'll come back to take some questions, so this way everything will be clear. Everything will be siyata d'shmaya, will be mesudar. Rabbi Akiva Eger and Dibar Maskel d'Oraisa, Rabbi Akiva Eger raises the following issue. Rabbi Akiva Eger points out that when it comes to our sugya, everything that we've been discussing now is only tefilas kelim d'Oraisa. But what about tefilas kelim d'Rabbanan? In such a case, what would the halacha be? Could a katan be relied on for tefilas kelim? Because remember, what did the mechaber say? Ein ma'aminim katan al tefilas kelim. Aside from the issue of kavana, there's a question also whether you believe the katan. What's the reason that you don't believe the katan? So a katan doesn't have ne'amanus on a level of d'oraisa. There's a famous sugya in Psachim on Daf Dalid, and this is how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. If you take a look, I have it photocopied for you in booklet number 4, and that is the sugya of Bedikas Chametz, which is a chiyuv b'drabanan. So there's a famous rule from the Gemara, himnu rabanan ad rabanan, that the Gemara says that when it came to Bedikas Chametz, so then, since it's chiyuv is d'rabanan, so then a katan, an isha, an eved, are trustworthy. And, by the way, the Mishnah Berurah passing this l'maisa, l'maisa, l'maisa. Whether everybody passes it this way, l'maisa, is a big discussion within the Rishonim. But if you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah and Sifkat and Yudzayim, the Mishnah Berurah passes this way as well. That a katan is believed when it comes to Bedikas Chametz d'Rabbanan. So says Rabbi Akiva Eger, This entire discussion, all of your chumras that you're talking about, A, that the katan is not going to be believed. I would assume Rabbi Kiva Eger would say the same thing in regards to the chumra of kavana as well. He says would not apply if we're dealing with dine dirabanan. If we're talking about dine dirabanan, so then in such a case, he says that the halacha would be that you would be allowed to have a katan do it, and you would trust the katan. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, Fisa Nir Staiti, the beklis chuchis ma'amina le katan. When it comes to class, it's only midrabanan, and therefore Rabbi Kiva Eger thinks that you'll be able to be makel. However, there is a dissenting view in the Prima Gadim, quoted by the Pischei Tshuva in Sif Katan Yud Dalit. And he introduces another variable. And he says that even on a level of dirabanan, we have a problem. And that is, do you believe a katan on a derabanan when there's a cheskas isur? Over here, argues the Prima Gadin, you've got a cheskas isur. This kli you got from China, and it's not the Eda HaCharedis. When I said the Eda HaCharedis before, now I'll explain what I meant. That it's not the pshat that the kashrus organization sends, and that's how most aluminum pans today have ashgacha, that say that you don't require tefillah. They send the aluminum to China. They arrange for the whole thing. So then they put the stamp on it, and there's no requirement of tefillah. That's in regards to their tefillahs kelim. But every other tefillahs kelim is a cheskas isur. It came from China. There's no reason to believe that you're not going to be chayiv in kelim. So once you have a cheskas isur, so then in such a case, we know that even though ketanim are believed, when it comes to cheskas isur, there's more room to be machmir. Not only that, that's a sugya on daf beis and mebeis in Gittin, whether an eid echad is neman in a case of a cheskas isur. So certainly, when it comes to ketanim, the Prima Gadim argues that since there's a cheskas isur, it's going to apply. So, the Magen Avram in Simin Tuf Lamed Zayin says, wait a second, but you see from Bedikas Chametz that even though there's a cheskas isur, that you believe in. That's what the Magen Avram writes in Taf Lamed Zayin. Rabbi Kiva Eger goes back and forth with the Magen Avram about that question. So it happens to be that here, it could very well be that the machlokis of whether a katan is going to be nema and dinei derabanan is going to be this very broad issue. By dinei derabanan, when it comes to cheskas iser, is a katan going to be nema? Tvilas kelim, it seems to be a case of cheskas iser, and you see that when it comes to bedikas chametz, where you know that the house had chametz inside. We're not talking about a house that you're not sure. You know that the house had chametz inside. You believe a katan, so we see that there's an emunas on a katan, a dinei derabanan. If you take a look in your Shulchan Aruch, I think almost all of you have it, in Simen Kuf Chav Zayin, the Ramah is black on white, that you don't believe a katan by a cheskas iser. If you take a look, the Ramah says, the im meid al iser derabanan lahakel the low is chazik isura kigam bedikas chametz. This is the Ramah Kuf Chav Zayin Gimel in Hilchos Yayin Nesach. Neman dimnu rabanan bidrabanan, but the Ramah says black on white that's a derabanan that's not is chazik isura. So first of all, the whole world goes crazy. But then we just get through saying everybody was assuming that bedikas chametz is his chazik isura. So that's for when you learn psachim, what you're going to do about that lamdus of whether it's cheskas isura or not. And the Gra has a whole arichus. And the Gra claims that most of Rishon take a look at it. It's a massive, beautiful Gra. Whenever you're doing the sugya nemas, it's a big sugya nemas of derabanan. It's a cheskas isura. So you take a look at the Gra in Sifkat Lame Beis. The Gra has a whole arichus where he proves that most Rishonim are not like the Ramah and say that even by dina derabanan with a cheskas iser when it's biyado l'sakein, like you have for the, many of you I'm sure are familiar from Tosis and Gittin on the Beis and the Beis, as well as in other sugyas, when it's biyado l'sakein, so then in such a case you're neman even in case of cheskas iser. That's how Tosis says, whether you know that Tosis or not, everybody should know this important yisod, that Tosis says that's why we believe a woman to say that she's tahora to her husband even though there's a cheskas iser, because it's biyada l'sakna. In such a case, it's in her hands to go to the mikvah. So the Gra says the same applies when it comes to dinei derabanan for ketanim as well. If it's biyadam, then they're neman. And the Gra summarizes the whole sugya of biyado, nemanus, and deraisis derabanan. This is a holy, holy maramachon, this Gra of katan, lambeis, as a tremendous bonus when either now or whenever you do the sugya, you should have this grun in your back pocket. But the Ramah says that when it comes to derabbanans, the Ramah says that by isurei derabbanan, the katan's going to be believed, but that's not in a case of where there's a cheskas isur. So that's a question of over here. Is the katan going to be believed by zechuchas? So the Rabbi Kivayger says, davar pasha, yes. Because Chechua says, wait a second, there's another wrinkle that you forgot about. What about the fact that there's cheskas isur? Finally, and everything comes full circle, and then I'll take all of your ha'aras. I know I didn't let you jump in now. I just wanted everything to be mesudar. Finally, the Aruch HaShulchan has a brilliant ha'ara. The Aruch HaShulchan Siv Katan Yud Gimel suggests that Tfilas Kalim is not a cheskas isur. That's what you want to say, Rabbi Yom. Very good. It's considered as if you said it. So Zok the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan says Tfilas Kalim is not a cheskas isur. What's Tfilas Kalim? It's a mitzvah on the individual to the Tovel of the Kalim beforehand. But there's no cheskas isur. The kli doesn't have cheskas isur. Is a piece of food. Piece of food that requires shechita, meat. So it starts with an animal. Every animal starts out with cheskas isur. A kli that starts out with cheskas isur doesn't have that. Ad kan divrei hakdoshim of the Aruch HaShulchan. I just want to point out what the Aruch HaShulchan was driving at is exactly what Reb Shlomo Zalman was saying. That it seems beautiful that Reb Shlomo Zalman does not make reference to Aruch HaShulchan. I don't know if it's because he didn't want some people to close the sefer because it's based on the Aruch HaShulchan, Chas v'Chalila, or whatever his cheshbon. Reb Shlomo Zalman does not make reference to the Aruch HaShulchan, which is in other words, the Aruch HaShulchan is the best makar for Reb Shlomo Zalman, and Reb Shlomo Zalman has this in a few places. He also has it in Michas Shlomo Chelik. Chelik Aleph, Simon Lamed Heyos Beis, he has the same Yesod as well, where he adopts this idea that there's no din Isser when it comes to Tefillas Kalim, and everything comes full circle, and that could be why Rabbi Kiva Eger didn't get involved with the cheskas Isser at all. What does emerge from our poskim over here is that most poskim are assuming that Tefillas Kalim is Daraisa, not Darabanan. Right? Almost everybody ignored the Rambam. That they're all assuming Tefillas Kalim is Daraisa. The Trumas Hadeshin, his starting point was that Tefillas Kalim is Daraisa. All of them are assuming that Tefillas Kalim is Daraisa, even though we have the Rambam on the books that holds it Darabanan. And that's what the Pri Chadash also takes as a Davar Pasha. If you take a look at the Pri Chadash on the previous page, in Divar Maskil Yat Bilenu Below Bracha, he says, the Pri Chadash has a long pilpul. Ulefi mashek asafti sivkatan vav. I don't think we have the our Shulchan Aruch have selected Pri Chadash's quoted. He says, according to what I assume, shetvilas kam daraisa have a half dina sveka daraisa lechumra. The ain lomer del inyan brach have mid rabbanan have le sveka derabbanan kula. Ulefi chach yak bilenu baral bracha. Pri Chadash gets involved with first of all, he says a davar pashut. That he thinks we paskin Safek Tfilas Kalim is Daraisa. So if you take a look at our cover page, that in itself, we now morphed into another topic. And that is, when you have Sveikos on Tfilas Kalim, could you go to Kula or not? So bottom line is, most poskim assume that we don't go to Kula when it comes to Tfilas Kalim, because at the end of the day, there's a lot of room to say that's Daraisa. But I wouldn't say that that's universal. I wouldn't say that everybody assumes that way. But you should know that let's be modest in our projections right now. Let's just say that the Pri Chadash says that Tfilas Kalim is Daraisa, and I'm adding to what the Pri Chadash had said that at the end of the day in Sif Yudalad, if you look at both the Taz and the Shach, it's all based on Trumas Hadeshin, they all assume that Tfilas Kalim is Daraisa. So there is a lot of room to say that it is Daraisa. Not only is that in the Trumas Hadeshin, I'll show you shortly that the Beis Yosef quotes in Sivkat seems to assume that as well, Sivkat and Tezvav. The Pri Chadash that gets involved with a fascinating Shaila. When you have a Safik Daraisa, and obviously you go to Chumra, so according to Pri Chadash, you have a metal Kli, right? Not a glass Kli. A glass Kli, you could go to Kula. That's the Kulei Alma, that's going to be Darabanan. But a metal Kli, that's Daraisa. So now you have a Safik, you paskin that you have to do Tefillas Kalim. So do you make a bracha or you don't make a bracha? So we've been seeing in the Ramah over and over and over again, the Ramah says, ah, it's machlokis, tovel below bracha. Right? It's machlokis, will we make on the bracha? The Pri Chodesh is not so excited about that. Pri Chodesh says, at the end of the day, if you're chayiv, so you're chayiv. If you're chayiv, then you make a bracha. That's what the Pri Chodesh claims. In such a case, you're gonna have to make a bracha. He concludes that glass is a totally different story. If you have a suffik on glass, then ain't a chanami. Then in such a case, it's suffik derabban and lekula. And if for whatever reason you're going to be making you're going to be machmir for whatever reason, so then that's a totally different story. But if it's a suffik d'oraisa, he's going to be machmir. This is known as a very big machlokus between the Rambam and Ravid. In a few places, in Hilchos Mila, in a few places, the Rambam and Ravid seem to argue when you have a suffik and you're machmir, are you machmir also on the bracha or not? It seems to me, al regal achas, I didn't, like the Stipler writes, beli ha'iyun ha'ro'ui, without doing the appropriate iyun, it would seem to me that the Ramah is not like the Pri Chodesh, that the Ramah assumes that if you have a suffik, even if the suffik is d'oraisa, in such a case, if there are shittas that hold that you don't make a bracha, so that you don't do tefillah, so then the Ramah holds that you'll be tovel without bracha. We had that in about three or four different places in the Ramah Simon. But at the end of the day, Pri Chodesh did have a different position. In regards to this question of whether tefillah's kelim is d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, so in regards to Goy, the Beis Yosef quotes the following from the Rashba. Ubitshuvas a Rashba kasav d'loshan hazeh, mashe kasavta shetvilas kem midrabanon, lo kula modimbo. Not everybody agrees. Now here, in the old edition, they had the most craziest thing possible. They says, umedivrei a Rambam yirosh yisavishu midaraisa. From the Rambam seems daraisa. What? Can't be. So the Drisha says, no, it must be the Ravid. It doesn't mean the Rambam. We saw the Rambam was black and white, that the Rambam says it's midivrei sofer. And the Rashba runs with this. And the Rashba holds that at the end of the day, the Chiyuv is going to be d'oraisa. So it seems to be that many poskim hold that it's going to be d'oraisa. Aside from the issue of whether it's d'oraisa, even if you hold it's d'rabbanan, there are poskim who are still machmir, who say that when it comes to suffik, you would have to be machmir. If you take a look at the Sefer Tefilas Kelim, photocopied for you in the middle of the booklet, page Kuf Tes Vav, so there Rav Tzvi Kohn writes the following: Ayin Pischei Tshuva B'Shem Pri Chodosh Le'inyin Mashkin Shes Suffik Im Chayv Tefila Ein Tzarech Tefila Davi Suffik Rabban L'Kula. Because the Marsham, the Suffolk and Chayim Tefil, lo avinis chazik yisura. Then he raises, but wait a second. Why should you not be machmir for two reasons? Number one, even if it's derabbanan, A, is it is chazik yisura? And if it's chazik yisura, then we don't say Suffolk is lakula, aleph. And Bays is davar sheish lamatirin. So our mesora was, and there are lots of rayas to say that we hold that it's not its chazik yisura. Tefilas kelim is not its chazik yisura. And I think this Aruch HaShulchan is a beautiful Aruch HaShulchan, and you could run with this Aruch HaShulchan. What about Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin? That we say that when the Gemara and Beitza that we discussed in the Sugya of Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin, that the halacha is that even by a suffik derabbanan and a taruvos, if you have a mixture of muktza, which is derabbanan, with other things, so halacha is that you don't say it's batal, even though it's an isur derabbanan. So similarly, poskim say safek derabbanan by davar sheyesh lo matirin, you also have to be machmir. So here, Rav Shlomo Zalman has something brilliant. I forgot to photocopy it for you in the back of the Sefer Tefilas Kelim. Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal suggests, no. This is not called davar sheyesh lo matirin. What's davar sheyesh lo matirin? You want to say davar sheyesh lo matirin? At the end of the day, why have food in this utensil when you know that this utensil might be asur? It doesn't cost any money to go to be tovel in the mikvah. Since it doesn't cost any money to be tovel in the mikvah, so it's a davar sheyesh lo matirin. So Rav Shlomo Zalman, that's not called davar sheyesh lo matirin. Davar sheyesh lo matirin is not mahadrin. Davar sheyesh lo matirin is not that if you could do it and it doesn't cost you any money, so then in such a case, eventually it's going to become mutter. No, davar sheyesh lo matirin Sheish Lamatirin means that later tonight it's going to become mutter, and therefore today, why eat it be Yisr? It is, Dar Sheish Lamatirin is, when you have one kli that you know didn't have Tvilas Kalim mixed up in a bunch of Kalim that did have already Tvilas Kalim. So therefore, Tefillas Kelim itself is not so difficult to do. So you're going to say that the it's not batal in the Taruvos. Then we're going to say you have a chiyuv to do it. It's not batal in the Taruvos. But over here, we don't even know if there's a chiyuv altogether. And you don't say, therefore, oh, we're not sure if there's a chiyuv. Automatically, you now have a chiyuv Tefillas Kelim. Such a beautiful point. This page, Reish Mem Beis, in the Sefer Tefillas Kelim. So bottom line is, at the end of the day, seems that many poskim are choshesh that Tefillas Kelim are doraisa. It's not partial to me that one could say simply, Safek Tefillas Kelim goes l'kula, even though there is a Shitas HaRambam, even though there are poskim that raise the possibility Tefillas Kelim is derabbanan. But you see the Rajba, the Trumas Hadeshin, both of which are quoted in Shulchan Aruch, seem to assume that Tefillas Kelim is Doraisa. At the same time, in instances where there is an obvious Chiyuv Derabbanan, we've taken care of both what Tzvi Cohen raises in terms of Ischazik Isura. We've taken care of Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, according to the way in, our Mesorah seems to present. And therefore, if it's a Vaday Derabbanan, if let's say your Rebbe convinces you that Tefillas Kelim is only midrabbanan, so in such a case, then in such an instance, you don't have to worry about Ischazik Yisura. It could very well be, and you don't have to worry about Davar Sheyesh. For sure, you don't have to worry about Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. However, if you have Tefillas Kelim, which is Doraisa, so then it comes back to all of the above discussions that we said in regards to Katan and Goy. Yes, Rebbe Yom.
Even if Tefillas Kelim is Doraisa, but Safek Brachos is still Hakel.
Oh, so that's not Pashut, according to Pri Chadash. The Pri Chadash, take a look at that Pri Chadash. I know you've been brainwashed that way, but I mean it in the most positive sense in the world. You've been brainwashed that way because that's the standard way that most poskim look at it. And that we had four Ramas like that, exactly what you're saying. And the Mishnah Berurah goes that way in general. That's standard halacha. Just saying that the Pri Chadash was a giant. He was known for having unique shitas. The Pri Chadash says, I use the Pri Chadash. I started reading the Pri Chadash because I wanted to bring out the Pri Chadash holds that Tefillas Kelim is Doraisa. That was what I wanted to. He holds that way. Ad kedei kach that he holds even if you have Suffolk Tefillas Kelim, he says you even make a bracha. That is not for sure not standard psak amongst Ashkenazim. Pri Chadash was one of the few Svardish poskim that disagreed with the Mechaber. We've discussed this in the past that the Pri Chadash was one of the few who had the audacity to disagree with the Mechaber. So he's a Sephardic posek, and he's disagreeing with the Mechaber. It's an outlier, but you should know it's not a Dover Pashut. If in the Beis Medrash, I'll give you two Marmikomos in the Rambam, where it seems that the Rambam holds that whenever it's a Safik Doraisa, automatically the Halacha is that you make a Bracha. It seems to be the Shitas Rambam in a couple places. Not only that, there's a Tshuvas Ben Rambam who defends the Shitas Rambam as well. It's not standard, it's not normative psak, I agree. But there is such a sheet to the Pri Chadash. It's not a Davar Pashut that just because you have a Safik Doraisa and you go to Chumra, you don't make a Bracha. The Pri Chadash has a sharp argument, and I think Rabbi Aaron Salvechik Zatzal explained that's the sheet of Harambam, the same way the Pri Chadash is saying over here. Dehainu, that if you have a Safek, so Torah is mechayiv you to do it. Safek Doraisa L'chumra. So if the Torah is mechayiv you to do it, then of course, then you say, Asher Kitshom Sosu V'tzivana. The Torah is mechayiv you to do it. You don't separate. Obviously, the Chakira is.
That's only
if somebody else is L'chumra Doraisa. Well, first of all. No, but that's not kasha because you still make brachas on the rabbanans as well.
But
you still. In other words, the rabbanans.
Doesn't the
pre chashas example? It's a gishmaka sugya. This is a massive sugya that's sort of been the forgotten sugyas because this is one of the cases where you have Mishnah Berurah and everybody that goes in one direction, people forget that there's an entirely different way of looking at it. Yeah.
Doesn't the Mishnah Berurah agree with the pre chashas when it comes to the example of Shema? Right, the
pre-Chodesh
example is Shema.
Yefemod. That's a beautiful pilpul. I don't want to touch it right now. It's a beautiful. You're right. The pre-Chodesh gets involved with something that by Kasavi Birchas Kriyishma seems to be Machmir. So then you have to go back to Mishnah Berurah and see what's the chiluk between those two cases. You have an article for the Beis Yitzchak now. Yeah, I did the first one. I did on Rambam Ravid on Safik Brachas. Now you have to do the next one. I didn't know this pre-Chodesh at the time. So now you. Yeah.
I think the way the Pri Chadash comes out is that it's not the suffix that suffix brachos is the chomer. It's just that if you have a vade chiyuv and you're not sure if you fulfilled that chiyuv, then you have to make a bracha. But if you're not sure if you made a you're not sure if you're chayv in the first place.
Beautiful. Ain't enough
for that. I mean, so that wouldn't disagree with any of those cases in the Ramah, basically. All the cases in the Ramah, we're dealing with cases of is there a chiyuv of tefillah in the first place? And then you're told below bracha. But in this, he only says this in the case where you know you were chayv, you're just not sure if you did it. If you're mekayim, you're chiyuv.
Vihine v'imke benidan didan the misafgalon beikar achiyuv im mechuy tefillah olo. Bidinu de lo levarich alem misafek upsak amechar mechuvin yofa bekan shepasuk sheyet binlenu below bracha. In contrast to
Kriyashma,
that you know that you're chayiv, you're not sure if you did it. Nachon, I'm mekabel. What Rabbi Yosef is saying is that the pri chadash based on the sugya of Kriyashma is only being machmir in a case of whether you're not sure if you did it or not, and that Yisrael might also answer your question as well. That will be the teretz. Okay, either I'm a kabel. Bottom line is that when it comes to tefilas kelim, there would be cases where in a chanami you would be chayav bracha, even if it's not a safek tefila. Then you have to go back to all those ramas and see if all those ramas apply. Excellent point. I'm a kabel that last point. Okay, let's try to do a little bit more. I know it's a little bit late, but let's try to hop in as much as we can. The truth is, I had a beautiful taz over here, but it's more lahagdil toru ladira. So first, I'll do what's mamish halachas psukos, and then we'll see how late where we are. The Mechaber in Sif Tezayin gives us a very important halacha, and that is in Shachach v'lo hikbil kli me'erv Shabbos Omei erv Yom Tov Yitnenu la'akum b'matana v'achakach yishaledu mimenu u'mutar l'ishtamish bo. If a person forgot, he didn't realize that he had a utensil that he wanted to use, that his wife wants to use before Shabbos, and he didn't realize that they hadn't taken it to mikvah. So there's a suggestion to give it to a goy b'matana, and afterwards borrow it from him. I remember as a Talmud, they told me that Rav Aaron Sel, I think I heard it from his grandson. I was chavrusas with Rav Shmuley Marcus for a few years, and I think if I heard from him or someone else, that Rav Aaron Selvejic, there were times that Lamaisa, he used this, that he was on vacation, and there was a utensil that was a matechas. So he had no qualms about selling it to the goy, and then borrowing it from the guy. In such a case, that's a way out. Now, the Taz has a very important comment, not the Gishmaka Taz, that Lahagdil Torah Ladira, but very practical Taz in Sifkot and Yudches. The Taz says as follows: Nearly the high tikuna eno elafisha, the hainu la'osu Shabbos, or the chol calls mancha in lo mikvah. The Taz says that this suggestion is only in a case in which it's shasat chak, it's Shabbos. Or there is no mikvah, but la'achar Shabbos, and once you have a mikvah, of course you can't rely on this. These are the words of the Taz. However, one needs to point out that not everybody agrees. A, I found that the Chelkas Binyamin, I think I photocopied it for you at the back of the booklet, Chelkas Binyamin found a Knesset Hagdola in Sifkat and Kuflan and Gimel, who says that it works Lizman Aroch as well, and Rav Miller pointed it had even a sharper maramakom for ourselves from our own limud, that if we had in Sif Katan Aleph in the Pisrei Tshuva, we had discussed from the Chachmas Adam that you have large utensils that it's very, very hard to be tovel them. So what are you going to do with these large utensils? So we gave the suggestion of the Reb Gershon Hyman suggestion, that is to take it apart Ayidei Yisrael and then put it back together. And the other suggestion, Sifkat and Aleph in the Pisrei Tshuva, is to sell it to a guy. So the point is that, excuse me, it wasn't Pisrei Tshuva, Sifkat and Aleph, I apologize, it's Rabbi Kiva Eger, Di Ramasa L'chei Nogin, it's right around the same area. Rabbi Kiva Eger, Di Ramasa L'chei Nogin, Rabbi Kiva Eger suggests to sell it to a guy. So Rav Miller Shlita pointed out that Rabbi Kiva Eger seems to suggest not like the Taz. He says, unless you say that Rabbi Kiva Eger was saying it that every week you sell it to him again. Moreno Rabbeinu Rav Nevensal Shlita said that when I asked him, I asked him if you have to be machmir for the Taz, and he probably was referring to this Rabbi Kiva Eger. His lashon zeh lashono kim dumani shesomcha al heter zeh afilu zman aroch b'shasat b'komatcha. The Nevinsal was under the impression that this heter works even for extended periods of time, and so that it could be that you don't have to reread Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and that's where Rav Nevinsal could very well be got his impression from, and that's the bottom line as far as whether you rely on it. This propels us to conclude our simon with very practical, to summarize, practical suggestions of where tevila is difficult to do, that there are certain quote-unquote heterim that might exist. Where does it come up? I'll use the litmus test of the most common shaila that comes up, where it's most challenging, is in regards to electric appliances. We made reference to it before, but now we'll just pull our simon together where everything comes full circle. So we have the Chelkas Yaakov in Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Chav Vav that said that it could very well be that as Dino Kemechuber if it's attached to the wall. I mentioned to you, I think I showed you from the Ol Yaakov. By the way, I called him this week. He has a sefer also on Bishalak. He seems to be a really nice fellow. That the Ol Yaakov quoted Rav Nevinsal saying that not to rely that even Betziruf, that one of the other Gedolei Poskim said that one could rely on a Betziruf. Rav Shechter Shlita, I didn't tell you this, and this is very important. Rav Miller quotes Rav Shechter Shlita holds that this Chalkas Yaakov is Lechatchila. So it comes out of Machlokis, Rav Nevinsal and Rav Shechter about Chalkas Yaakov. Rav Miller said that Rav Shechter feels that there isn't the requirement of Tfilas Kalim as long as you plug it into the wall. So Rav Shechter goes that way. I don't think even all of Rav Shechter's own Talmidim, in other words, the next generation of Rashi Yeshiva Yitzchak Elkanah, a few years younger, Rabbi Willig and so on, necessarily give Rav Shechter's suggestion all the time, but that's how Rav Miller quoted. And if I recall, when I was in the Kolo, that I had heard that Rav Shechter did not look down on this heter of the Chalkas Yaakov. So that's a big discussion. Another suggestion is Ramesh's suggestion in Yoredei Chelek Aleph Simen Nun Zayin, which you also should be very much aware of, where Ramosha says that Ramosha does not have, says you need to do Tefillas Kelim, but imagine this is your kumkum. This is your, what's the bigger one called? This kumkum is the kettle and the urn, thank you. So imagine this is the urn. So generally the urn, there's no problem of being tovel the urn, putting it directly in the water, not taking care of the air bubble, etc. It's just the bottom of the urn has, let's talk about an urn like that, that the machine, the electrical component, is entirely on the bottom. So Rav Moshe suggests a chidush. I won't elaborate on how big of a chidush it is, but Rav Moshe suggests a chidush, and that is that this part, just use my water line, that this part is where the electric appliance begins. The kli begins over here. It doesn't begin. This is not kli. This is called machine. That's what Rav Moshe suggests. So, yes, we learned that the halacha is that you need tvila b'chol akli, but it's considered b'chol akli. Or Rav Moshe suggests that maybe this is called beis hastarim. Either way, whether you say it's beis hastarim or it's tvila b'chol akli, at the end of the day, b'chur beis hastarim needs to go into the water, so it gets complicated if you say beis hastarim. So, at the end of the day, Rav Moshe says, all you have to do is submerge up until this line, and anything more than that, there isn't going to be a chiyuv of tefillah for. And Rav Moshe is being mechadesh that even though we learned in Sif Katan Yud Beis that you need to be tovel kol akli, this is not called a kli. It's not considered kol akli, and therefore you could partially submerge. When I was in my days, that's what people used. They used this heter of Rav Moshe. You take it to the mikvah, but only be tovel partially the kli. The third suggestion is to go with this Rabbi Akiva Eiger, the matana, and say that you don't have to be machmir for the taz, or renew your contract with the guy every week. So I don't think that, because there are machmirim, I don't think that people suggest that necessarily. But at the end of the day, for sure, b'shas adchak, for sure, for a week's period of time, one could definitely do the suggestions mefurish in the mechaber. That if b'shas adchak one could do it, extended period of time, then we have Rav Nevinsal's heter that there are people that are makel, and it seems, as Rav Miller pointed out, Rabbi Akiva Eiger is also makel. And finally, we have the suggestion of going to someone like Rav Gershon Hyman. I asked him, if anybody asked me for his number, if he would allow me to give his number. So he said yes. And that is to go to someone who's very proficient. There's an inside track of why you would want to go to him. And that is, he's around Rav Neman Saul all the time. So that would be a reason why you want to choose him. He didn't ask me to promote him. But you go to someone who's proficient, and they just take apart the kli and put it back together, and then in such a case, then there would the kli amma. This is not a harama. See, Rabbi Kiva Eger is a harama. That's a harama. This is not a harama. This is lechatchila shebe lechatchila. One does not need to have any compunctions about doing this at all. Is there a hand over there? Yeah.
I think we should just put it in again.
And pray for the best.
Yeah, wait 25.
Okay, right. For the final suggestion, which is not an Eitzah, is the final Mahalach. Rav Miller quoted this in the name of Rabbi Willig, is Yitovel L'Kli, and Yitovel L'Gansa Kli, but even though there's skull and crossbones on the electric appliance not to submerge in water, the skull and crossbones are put on only for someone who doesn't have it sit out for a while. Then chas v'chalila tzakanas nefashos for a person to use such a utensil. But if you submerge it and you leave it out for quite a while and don't use it until you're entirely sure that's going to be dry, then in such a case that would be a suggestion as well. I myself, for years, what I did was both. I did Rav Moshe, and I didn't put it all the way entirely in. And you should also put it out, because the odds are, if you're going to try to do at least that part of the kli appropriately, then there is going to be a little bit of water that's also going to get into the electrical component as well. But many rabbanim have pointed out that if you don't use it right away, and you make sure to shake out all the water, and you have it sit out for quite a while, there's obviously only an individual or a moshe who has time to have it sit out. It's not a shas hadchak. So then in such a case, that is what others say as well. L'niyaz daiti, Ramesh's tshuva, there's a lot to rely on, combined with possibly the Chalkas Yaakov as well, that one does not have to be masakin the keil. Rav Miller was black and white, even though he seemed to favor that approach as well, the one that you mentioned. Rav Miller would just emphasize one thing, and that is the Ramosha's tshuva is good for utensils, electrical appliances of 20, 30 years ago. Today's good appliances no longer are simply about wires and electricity. Today's good appliances are now about computer chips. So if you have computer chips, so then putting it out in the sun and leaving it out forever is not going to work. In other words, once you have a computer chip that has been affected by water, so then it's going to kill the chip. And once the chip is killed, then it's not going to work. So Rav Miller mentioned in terms of the fancier coffee machines and so on and so forth, he thought that then that Eitza wouldn't work. And for sure, one should rely on the other kulas. The Chazal speak about that, that we're choshesh on Mamun Yisrael, and there's no reason for a person to risk something that's quite expensive, especially if it would be ruining a computer chip. So in such a case, you have the other suggestions. Yes, sir?
I don't know if we should move on this sort of appliance. I understand why it's different, but can you say that if you can't do the tefillah because of the fact that there's electrical appliances, then you may go not do it at all? And
it's
then
interesting.
If anything comes to Chomer, like you may need to do anything.
Right.
Or meaning the event comes to Chomer to have to do it.
Right.
I think it's how.
You've heard
Sakh Halacha that way. That,
the advancing Rav Shlomazan.
Rav Shlomazan said that he does. I think what he said is that he doesn't even. He gives it to a guy as a matana, like l'chumah, because he feels like he's not going to need to at all because
Rav Shlomazan is sorry.
Wow.
Because they're going to break? That's Rav Shlomazan.
He says his urns broke. He says his things have broken. He says that. Uh-huh. Yeah, therefore, so do tefillah is not possible, and therefore you don't have to do tefillah at all.
And he evoked.
He
evoked Rav Shlomo Zalman.
He didn't. I don't remember. If he
so
well,
you're.
He didn't say it's hard, like you can't do tefillah, so you don't have to do tefillah.
Right. In other words, if you're breaking the kli,
right.
So it's not called a kli. You could say it that way, or you could evoke. It could be Rav Shlomo Zalman's Mar Mokum would be very helpful.
I don't remember doing anything before that. I mean, before you break it, while it's still called a kli, you just don't have to do tefillah because if. Do it, it will be broken, so you don't have to do a few lines.
So that you're on a certain level onus.
I do think it works well
with Shlomo Zalman. I've not seen anybody advance with Shlomo Zalman in that regard. I think that's something that's kedai to discuss with his Talmidim, Enoch Hanami. It's a very, very interesting idea. Okay. I do want to discuss you Lahagdil Torah Ladir this Taz, Sifkat and Yud Zayin, but what we'll do is either we'll discuss in the Beis Medrash, or but it's really late, it's 4:30 already. So Emir Tzah Hashem next time we'll discuss in the Beis Medrash, or we'll pick up with Bishul Akum. We're going to do Bishul Akum in the following way. We're going to start, there are two simanim that the yeshiva wants us to do. One is Kuf Yud Gimel and the other is Kuf Yud Dalet. And we're going to start, Kuf Yud Beis and Kuf Yud Gimel. That's what Ishii wants us to do, And we're going to start with Kuf Yud Gimel. Kuf Yud Gimel is much more lemaisa than Kuf Yud Beis. Kuf Yud Gimel, these sets of halachos are not easy. This is not going to, it's very fascinating sugyas, not easy. And we're going to first start with Kuf Yud Gimel, start with the Tur Beis Yosef. I already have a lot of Maamar Kumos written up. So if you want to get it earlier rather than later from me, just send me an email, and Hashem will pick up next time. Maybe we'll wrap up with the Taz Sifkat and Yud Zayin as well. What's that? So let's see. The Misparam today is what, the 24th or the 25th or something like that? 24th of May. And when are the Chevra leaving? Some of the Chevras are already leaving, like the 11th, 12th, 13th, right?
Am I leaving?
No. Mickey's leaving.
Leaving when my brother gets engaged. Probably. I don't know. He hasn't started dating yet.
Okay. Amazing. So, okay. So,